Welcome to GemaraMarkings.com, your roadmap to the Talmud Bavli. We highly recommend printing out the PDF of the DAF with the markings, or better yet, emailing us to obtain your own copy of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. If this is your first time visiting the site, we highly recommend clicking on the links to view the sample markings, as well as to hear a brief 4-minute audio explanation of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. Enjoy your shiur.
Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be beginning Daf Kuf Lamed Beis Omed Aleph at the top. We're in the middle of a sugya. We were dealing with a person, a Shchiv Meira, that is distributing his property. And in the question the Gemara dealt with last time was on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Aleph Omed Beis, the Gemara asks, Bas Eitzel Habonim V'Isha Eitzel O'achim, is a person able to, using the Loshon Yerusha, to single out these people who are not in the front line of inheritance, and able to receive? In this case, as we saw in the series that we already introduced on Kuf Lamed Aleph, the series of questions, starting with the Bo'i Rova expression, Bebori Heich. What about a situation where a healthy person writes over his property to his wife? The issue being, is it a genuine gift to the wife, or is he appointing her an apotropos, an executor over his estate? Before we continue any further, it's also noted in the margin, in the space that is between the Gemara and the Rashbam, that another question of this nature of Bebori Heich will be raised on Omid Beis. So as far as we're concerned, the Gemara continues, Boi Rova, Bebori Heich. B'shchiv Meira, hu denichole delishtamun nila. A person who is about to die, he would be interested in his wife's word being heeded to, and that's why it would be in his interest to appoint her an apotropos and not give his estate to her as a gift. He's about to die, and he wants her to take care of the estate. Avol, bebori, hakoi ihu. But if you're dealing with a healthy person, he is around yet. Oy Dilma, Bori Nami Nichole Drishtamun Nila Mehashta. It could be that even with a healthy person, the husband is interested in his wife being listened to, being heeded from right now. And with that Svara, she would be an apotropos and not receive it as a gift. In order to answer this question, the Gemara proposes Toshma. Come and hear the following. This Toshma is a long answer. We've called it in the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam, an abbreviated Toshma Tof Shin, that's encircled with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of the Toshma response. Most of it is contained in a Tanaic source, as you can see in the frame. Toshma hakoisev peiros nechosov liishtoi. Someone writes as a gift, assigns as a gift, the fruits of his property. The assumption right now is that this assignment of the peiros to eat to his wife is even where the giver has sons. Goivek subosom in akarka. Though he is assigning the peros to his wife as a gift, her ksuba, her entitlement to finances as a result of her being married to him, that entitlement known as ksuba, she collects from land. Lamechza l'shlish ulerevia. Goivek subasa min hashar. We'll take a look at the Rashbam, the upper part of the page, in the fourth wide line from the top in the middle. The imkosav lo karko peris legamri, machtsison o shlish o revia. If he assigns to his wife possession of land and fruits, half, third, a quarter, goivik suboso min hashar, she will collect her ksuba entitlement from the rest of the property. Continuing in the Gemara. Kosav kol nechosav liishtoi. A man wrote over all of his property to his wife, and again, the assumption is, even in the case that he has sons, v'yotza olav shtar choiv, and a creditor came knocking on this man's door to collect a debt that preceded this gift. The shtar chov that this creditor is trying to collect, the debt that he's trying to collect, preceded the matona, but not her ksuba. In other words, the couple got married before the husband borrowed money. We see two Tanaic opinions regarding what is to take place. The translation of the Gemara, though, will be insufficient. Hence, we'll have to offer explanation in addition. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Tikra Matonosa, V'tamoid Al Ksubosa. That means that the woman can, she'll forego her matona, so to speak, because the creditor preceded the matona, as we mentioned a moment before. So the creditor will be able to collect the property that she received as a matona. However, her ksuba preceded the debt. In other words, money owed to her is really owed to her earlier than the halva. And as a result of that, she can then, after she loses, so to speak, the gift she received, she will, however, be able to recollect that property on the basis of her ksuba. V'chachomim oimrim, tikra ksubasa, v'ta'amoid al matanosa. V'nimseis korachas mikan umikan. We will translate, but have to offer explanation. The Chachomim say she tears up her ksuba. But that's lav dafka, as we've written in. It doesn't mean literally tear it up. However, she will forego her rights that she's entitled to through the ksuba to the property that is currently in their possession, in this couple's possession. The creditor will collect that property, and she will not turn to that creditor to collect her ksuba, hence the point of difference between the Chachomim and Rebbe Eliezer. However, if this husband of hers acquires property later on, new property, she will be able to collect her ksuba from that. But as far as current property is concerned, the Brisa uses the expression Nimseis korachas mikan umikan, means she's losing out regarding these properties from both ends, namely from the matona end she loses, because the creditor preceded that, and from the ksuba end she loses, because we're saying, according to the Chomim, the creditor can collect, and she cannot turn around and collect from him, from the creditor, later. The Rashbam, we'll take a look at in the middle of his discussion. There is a squiggle underline, avol, at the beginning of the line, toward the lower part of the narrow section of the Rashbam. And he says there, Avol mehano nechosim, from the currently held properties, the Yohiv law that this husband had given to his wife, mochala shibud ksubasa, de minayhu lo tikvi ksubasa. She is in effect foregoing her ksuba collection rights from these properties. Hoyul uvematnas chinam ba'oliyada, since the properties came to her as a gift, the eino neisenes elibo shemo yovo balchov, she received the gift not taking into consideration that a creditor might come along, the yitrofein b'chov, and collect them in his as a result of his debt. Hilkach tikra ksubasa legabi hani nechasim shelo titrof. So, as far as these of the currently held properties, that she tears up her ksuba, so to speak, namely she foregoes collection rights. Continuing in the source, the Omar Rabbi Huda Hanachtoim Maise V'ira Hadovor Bebas Achosi Kala. A case like this happened with my niece. In other words, his sister's daughter married his own son. First cousins got married. Ubo maisa lefnei chachomim, and an incident like this came to the chachomim. V'yomru tikra ksubosa v'tamor amatanosa v'nimseis korachas mikan umikan. And the ruling was that the matana she received will have to be forfeited to the creditor. And as far as her ksuba is concerned, she will not collect it from these properties that she had received as a gift. Now, the Gemara draws an inference. Taimo diyotza olov shtar choiv. The reason for the ruling we just saw was because a shtar chov appeared on the scene. And that's why the wife who received the properties forfeits them. Holo yotza olov shtarchov kanya. Had there been no creditor in the picture, and we simply saw a husband assigning his property to his wife, she would have acquired the property. And we're not saying that he made her into an executor. Uvemai. And what are the circumstances? Ilema b'shchiv meira. If you're to suggest that we're talking about a person deathly ill, v'ho amris lo aso elo apotropis. But we've already heard Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel to say that a shchiv meira who assigns all his property to his wife, he has no intention of granting her ownership of it, but rather he's assigning her to be an executor. Elo lav bebori. Rather, this case is talking about a healthy person. And as a result of that, we would be able to conclude our question. Namely, that a bori who assigns all his property to his wife is not making her into an executor, but rather giving it to her as a gift. And that would be in accordance with the aleph possibility in the original question on the top line of the Gemara, where it was presented as an aleph o dilma beis, two possibilities in the original question, and this would be in accordance with the first one. The Gemara, though, rejects this. Li'olam b'shchiv meira. The case featured in this source with the husband assigning all his property to his wife was talking about a person deathly ill. And then you'll ask, so why is she koine? Rava biro mukila b'kulhu. Ravina mukila b'ishto arusa v'ishto gerusha. In order to appreciate this line, and especially if one is not familiar with the previous daf, take advantage of the arrow that you see in the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam, indicating Kuf Lamed Aleph Omid Beis, and lo and behold, on the previous Omid Gemara, you'll find arrows indicating Kuf Lamed Beis Omid Aleph, where Ravina Mishmei de Rava appears. And there, the Gemara dealt with certain types of women that when a person assigns property to her, it's clear that he's not making her into an executor. The whole reasoning behind appointing a particular woman into an executor was because of the person's interest in her being respected. But the examples of, example, like Ravino mentioned, Ishto Arusa or Ishto Grusha, if he's assigning his property to them, it's clear that he's not making them into an executor. Ishto Grusha, his divorcee, he's not interested in her receiving respect, as you can well imagine. Hence, the source that was described here of a person assigning all his property, Ishto, we're talking about a woman who was divorced, or namely his wife that he divorced, or his wife that he has not consummated his marriage with. The example of Rav Avira that says he would have set it up with, in all of the cases, Lemaisa, practically speaking, it too means Ishto Grusha, the Ishto Arusa, as is pointed out in the Rashbam. But in general, according to this Gemara, if a person is married to a woman and he assigns all his property to her, even if he is a Bori, we cannot conclude that issue from here, because we're setting this source up as dealing with a Shchiv Meira. So the issue would remain unresolved. Omar Rav Yosef Bar Menyumi Omar Rav Nachman Halocha Tikra Ksubosa V'tamoid Al Matonosa V'nimtzeis Karachas Mikan Umikan. Rav Nachman rules that a woman who received a gift of her husband's property and a creditor came along, she would forfeit her ksuba collection rights from the property, and the gift that she received would go to pay the creditor's claim. And as we said before, Nimse's Karachas Mikan Umikan, she turns out to be Karachas literally means bald, but it's an idea of losing out, where hair is ripped out, so it's not there anymore. It turns out that she's losing out from the Matana and from the Ksuba. We featured Rav Nachman in a circle because Limor wants to focus on his opinion right now. Lemeimra delo ozil Rav Nachman boser umdena. Are you suggesting that Rav Nachman does not follow approximation or estimation? What we mean by that is, does he not look at what the person's thought process is? What do we mean by that? If you look at a person, a woman who, let us say, received a gift of property from her husband, do you think that she would forfeit her financial security, namely her ksuba rights? For Hatanya, we have seen Rav Nachman react to a Tanaic source that we're about to learn, and we will see that Rav Nachman does take into consideration a person's thought processes, and we follow what's known as Omed Das. This question, by the way, is classified as a long question, as you can see in the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam, the encircled Kuf, lasting several lines. The Gemara asks, V'hatanya, we have a source, as you can see, it appears in a frame, as all Tanaic sources do in the marking system. Harei sholach benoi l'medina sayam. Person's son went abroad. V'shama shemeis beno, and he heard that his son passed away. V'yoma v'kosav kol nechosav l'achirim. And as such, the father assigned all his property to some outsider. V'achar kach bo beno, and afterwards the son appeared. The first opinion in this source is matanose matana. Too bad for the son, the gift is binding. And the Tanakhama is of the opinion because he didn't make any stipulations at the time he gave the gift. Rav Shimon ben Menasseh Omer, Ein matanosa matana. The gift to the outsider is not binding. Biyodua shiluhoyo yodea shibano kayam lo kosro. It's obvious that had the person known that his son was alive, he would never have assigned his properties to an outsider. Vi'omar Rav Nachman halocha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh. And Rav Nachman favors Rav Shimon ben Anasya's approach, and for our purpose, that means we go Basar Umdana. We go according to our estimation of how a person thinks. If that be the case, why in the case of the woman who received the gift and the creditor came along, would Rav Nachman say that she loses even her ksuba collection rights? Why would she be mocheles on that? Why would she forfeit that when in fact her ksuba preceded the bill of debt the creditor was coming with? The Gemara answers that Rav Nachman is consistently interested in umdana. He, in all cases, he'll follow umdana. And if that be the case, so what about the woman? Shiny hasam. The case of the woman and the creditor that came along is different. The nichala de tepokala kolo de kasvinu nihala lahanohu nichasim. She is happy to have for it to be known. That's the tepokala kolo, that a reputation should be established concerning her, that her husband assigned all of his property to her at one point. So it was worth it to her to receive the property, even at the expense of forfeiting her ksuba rights somewhere down the line. So that too is a function of umdana. Let us take a look at the Rashbam in the middle of the wide section, umishani, hochi nami, boser umdana, ozu Rav Nachman dekomar tikra ksubasa. Rav Nachman's ruling here that suggests she loses her ksuba is also an outgrowth of umdana. Denichala behach matana. She was happy receiving this matana. Mishum de tebo kola deihi mehemna v'chashuva gabi bala. That it should be apparent to the, should become apparent to the public that she is a trustworthy wife and important in the eyes of her husband. Umishum hachi kosav lo kol nechosav. And because of her elevated status in her husband's eyes, he assigned her all of his property. And through that pleasure, she was willing to forfeit her ksuba collection rights from these properties. The Omra, and she would say, and if Balchov, a creditor, would come along and attempt to collect these properties, it wouldn't bother me. At this point in the Gemara, we see a slash mark indicating a new discussion will follow. But up till this point, just looking over the Gemara that has been learned from the beginning of the Omid, we raise the question of what would the din be concerning a healthy person assigning all of his property to his wife. In the course of the discussion of the Gemara, there was an attempt to say that that would constitute a gift. The Gemara rejected that and said it was talking about a shchiv meira. And then the Gemara had asked if it was talking about a shchiv meira, so why would it be that she receives the property? We know that a shchiv meira who assigns property to his wife is only appointing her as an executor. So the Gemara answered, we're talking about those types of women that a person is clearly not interested in her being respected, and hence if he's assigning the property to her, he's not doing it in the name of apotropsis, of executorship, but rather in order to give it to her. As the Gemara continues, we notice a geometric form, a house form. The purpose of this form is to create a kesher between the resha and the seifa. The seifa is found at the top of Omid Beis, where you find around the Tanan word a house form as well. Let us glance at the topic heading that we've provided in the outside margin. Hakosev nechosav levonov. Person assigned his property to his sons. Hakosav leishto karka kolshehu. And he assigned a small amount of land to his wife. Ovdok subasa. with her receipt of that small amount of land, she loses her ksuba. She loses her ksuba collection rights. HaGemara Tameha, the Gemara is amazed. Ha'im biglal she mekabeles karka kol shehu, he mafsida es ksubasa, because she receives a small portion of land, she loses her ksuba collection rights. It's hard to understand that. Turning to the Gemara. Tanan hasam, ha'kosev nechosav levonov. The kosav leishto karka kol shehu, person who assigned his property to his sons and assigned to his wife a small amount of land, of the ksubasa. When we speak about Avda Ksubasa, we refer to her losing collection of Ksuba from these properties, not losing eventual collection right from future acquired properties. This is brought out in the Rashbam in Dibur HaMaschil Avda Ksubasa, where he says, Lo Avda Mamish, the idea of losing doesn't mean literally losing. She'im yikne nechosam achakach, if this husband acquires property later on, tigve mehen hamosar, she will collect the balance. Whatever the little gift she received accounted for, then the balance that would equal the total ksuba value, she would get from those newly acquired properties later. The kosav law, in the original ksuba text, the following appears, dekanoi ude osid ano lemikni, that which I have acquired and that which I will acquire in the future. All of that is bound to her ksuba. Ela avda ksubasa means mehani nechosim. The expression of avda ksubasa means from currently held property. Shimlo yikne abal nechosim achirim, if the baal does not acquire future properties, then hare yifsida, she ends up losing. She me elu shenasan levonov lo tigve od, from those properties that he gave his sons, she will not collect her ksuba. She was approving of the situation through this matona, through this gift that she received. Because in the gift that he gave to his sons, she also received something. She received the karka kolshu, a first time of the ozil, as will be explained. This is a very important point that is being made, that situations where the husband or father gave out all of his properties to his sons and a little bit to his wife, but nothing's left in the father's rishus. Avol shir, if the father, however, retained something, afilu chad dikla shelo chilek oisoi, even if it's one tree that he didn't give out, that he kept for himself, Amrin only come on, the Gemara will say later, Migu de nochto adiklo, nochto nami akulhu. That once there's a little opening for her to collect, we say, if you left a little opening, it's considered a major opening. And that's called Migu. Since she collects from one tree, she can collect from all of the property. The Gemara continues. We read a Tanaic source that indicated that once he gave his property to his sons and gave a little bit to his wife, she loses her ksuba. The Gemara asks, Mishum de kosav lo karka kolshu of the ksubasa, because he assigned her a little piece of property, she loses her ksuba. How can that be? So, the Gemara will now present three opinions of what took place, what happened. The first is Rav, the second is Shmuel, and the third is Rav Yosef B'Chanina. As we learn these opinions, we will also turn to the Rashbam for explanation. Omer Rav, b'mezake lohen al yoda. We look at the Rashbam, we notice in the Rashbam, we've also adopted a marking system. You notice the diamonds in the Rashbam, those are the three opinions that are presented in the Gemara. Omer Rav, the Mezake Lohen Ayodo, Askino the Rashbam says, we're talking about a case where he presented the gift to his sons through her. Shenosna Loi Sudor Shelo she took out her sudar. It's a piece of cloth. It's a symbolic gesture of kinyan, known as a kinyan sudar. She gave to the husband her sudar, lahaknois lebonim, in order for the sons, by her giving the husband her sudar, he thereby is makne to them his property. The Gemara Bava Metzia says that the kinyan sudar takes place through material owned by the one acquiring. The mucha milsa, the midika mishtadla bezechias abonim. From the fact that this woman, the wife, is exerting effort for the sons to acquire property, the gam nosan lo karka kolshu, and also she received a little bit herself. The eino me'areres klum, and she's not issuing any protest. Kevadika tarti, since you have these two elements, she is exerting efforts for them to receive, plus she received something herself. She certainly agreed with full consent that they should acquire the property from their father, namely her husband, with full control, in so far as her not collecting any further her ksuba from those properties. And she's forfeiting her lien that she had on these properties. And she will, in effect, lose her ksuba collection rights if she doesn't find some other place to collect from, namely from some future acquired properties. With this explanation, we can understand a little better why this woman that was featured in the Tanakh source loses her ksuba. Continuing in the Gemara, Shmuel Amar b'mechalek lifonel v'yisho sekes. Shmuel goes a little further. He says the division of property is taking place in front of her, even if she is not actively involved in arranging for the kinyan to take place. Her mere presence there at the time the father is assigning the properties to the sons, and she remains quiet, since she also got something, she approves, and her silence is consent. He is tantamount to consent. However, if he did not give her anything at that point, her silence would not be translated into consent, but rather simply not to irritate her husband. And in trying to, her silence was a silence not of consent, but as we said, it to make the husband feel good. That's termed in Hebrew, lasus nachas ruach lebayla. Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina in the Gemara, Omar, he says, ba'oimer lo tli karka zu b'ksubosech. According to the Rashbam, this is even a more lenient opinion, in that even if the woman is not there, and he did not divide the properties to his sons in her presence, he simply said to her this particular text. He said, take this karka, this little piece of karka, as your ksuba. And she remained quiet. She didn't protest. Her silence is translated into acceptance, and she thereby forfeits her lien on the rest of his property. These three opinions are all telling us that she forfeits her rights to the ksuba without any formal kinyan being made to indicate that, without any formal legal gesture that is so characteristic of other financial transactions. As a result of that observation, the Gemara says, "Umikuli ksuba shanu kan." This is one of the lenient aspects or weak aspects that are characteristic of ksuba as opposed to other types of debt. In other types of debt, a creditor would not lose his ability to collect a debt unless there is some type of explicit forfeit. In the three opinions that we saw, whether it be Rav or Shmuel or Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, we did not see any explicit forfeit on the part of the woman. We saw silence, but no actual forfeiting. The fact that she loses the ksuba through her silence and not a formal and explicit forfeiting, this is characterized as kule ksuba. Tanan. We see a house marking around the Tanan. We indicated on Amud Aleph, this is to create a kesher, a connection between what we're about to learn and what we saw in Amud Aleph. Rav Yossi Oimer, Im Kibla Aleha. Before we go any further in the Gemara, it should be noted that we're starting a long question. That's indicated by the encircled kuf between the Gemara and the Tosfos, and the dashed vertical line extending downwards, indicating that all of these lines are part of a question. So we have a source. It says, Rav Yossi Omer, Im Kibla Aleha, Afal Pi Shelo Kosavla, Avda Ksubasa. If she accepted upon herself, even if he didn't write something to her, she loses the ksuba. This is Rav Yossi in the Seifa, in the latter part of the source that we featured with the house marking on Omid Aleph. Rav Yossi is apparently reacting to something the Tanakama said. Michlau, the Tanakama sovar, ksiva vikabola boi. In order for a woman to lose her ksuba, we can infer from Rav Yossi that the Tanakama was of the opinion that there would be required some kind of acceptance, a formal acceptance, that's a Kabbalah, in addition to the gift that is assigned to her. If we say that, then it will cause a question on all of the opinions that we saw on Omid Aleph. Those opinions on Omid Aleph set up the Tanakama as follows, that the woman was silent, where she didn't accept in an explicit fashion her loss of ksuba. Here we see Rav Yossi saying what he says, inferring from him what the Tanakama must have held, namely, that there must be, in addition to the ksiva, the writing of a gift to the woman, a formal acceptance, and hence we dashed underlined the word Kabbalah, because this is the focus of our discussion, a formal acceptance on her part, indicating her forfeiting of the ksuba. V'chi tema, if you try to say, kula Rav Yossi hi, that the entire source is really the opinion of Rav Yossi. And the Reisha is a case of ksiva without Kabbalah, where writing a gift to her without a formal acceptance, and the Seifa is describing a Kabbalah, her acceptance without a formal writing. The Hotanya, we have another source where Rabbi Yehuda appears, and Rabbi Yehuda is in this Brisa is coming to explain the Tanakama. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Amosai, when is it that she loses the ksuba? Shehoi Sasham, the Kibla Alea. She was there, and there was formal acceptance. Aval Hoi Sasham, the Lo Kibla Alea. If she was present when he was dividing his property to his sons, and she didn't formally accept, but rather she remained silent. Kibla aleha velo hoisa sham. If she accepted upon herself the loss of the ksuba rights, but she was not there, lo of the ksubasa. And the reason for that is that her behavior, her acceptance, was only for the purpose of making her husband feel good. That's what we said before. It's called Nachas Ruach Hasisi Lebali. But in order for it to be binding, you see from here, you need Ksiva and Kabbalah. You need the formal writing and acceptance on her part. And silence is not enough. Tiufto de Kulhu, are we then to conclude that this is a refutation of all the opinions that we saw in Amarav, where we saw the Rav and Shmuel, and we saw the third opinion, Rav Yossi Rav Hanina, who said that a woman can lose her ksuba rights even if she remains quiet? The Gemara says, yes, Tufta, this is in fact a refutation. Amale Rava le Rav Nachman. Ha Rav, ha Shmuel, ha Rav Yosef Rav Chanina. These, as we've indicated here at the end of Amud Aleph, were three opinions that we've heard already. More mehai mai svira le. You, Rav Nachman, who do you hold like? We're talking, of course, about the issue of a woman receiving a karka kolshu gift from her husband, and the husband giving property to his other children. What's the story with regard to her ksuba rights? Omale, Rav Nachman answers, Shani Omer, Kevon Shaso Shutuf Bein HaBonim Ovda Ksubasa. Once he made her, his wife, like a partner amongst his sons, she loses the ksuba. It's pointed out that Rav Nachman is paskening like Rav Yossi, namely Rav Yossi B'Chanina, like Rav Yossi the Tana, that we saw on the upper part of this page, that does not require ksiva v'kabbalah, that it's enough to have one. This is pointed out in the Rashbam. And the Rashbam is found on the wide lines under the Gemara, Shutuf Bein Abonim, Shekosav Lo Nami Karka Kolshu, just like the sons received property, she too received a small amount, Mochala, she forfeits her ksuba rights, V'lo Matzrichinon L'chol Hanach Koichos, the Amri Hanach Amoroi Liel, and we don't require all of the different forces that were alluded to by the Amoroim at the bottom of Omed Aleph, Ela b'ksiva be'alma ovda. By a mere assignment of some property to her, she loses the ksuba rights. Rav Yossi, just like the Tana Rav Yossi, the sagi lo b'chada oy kabbalah o ksiva. The Gemara continues. It marnami omar of Yosef bar menyumi, omar of Nachman, kivan shasa shutuf bein abonim, at the point that he makes her a partner amongst his other sons, of the ksuba, so she loses collection of ksuba, even though the value of the ksuba is much greater than the karka kolshu that she received, she nevertheless forfeits collection rights with regard to these properties. Bori Rova, Bebori Hech. As we've already introduced this marking, what is the story with regard to a healthy person making this assignment? In other words, up till now, we were discussing a Shchiv Meira, assigning most of his property to his sons and a little bit to his wife. What happens if the giver is healthy? Mi Amrinon. Notice the structure of the question is Aleph, followed by an O Dilma a few lines later, Beis. Mi Amrinon, Bishchiv Meirahu Diyoda, the less lay, the Komochla, Avo Bebori, Savara, hadarkani, can it be said that in the case of a shchivira, she knows that that the husband has no other properties and he's about to die, and she forfeits her rights. She doesn't anticipate anything else coming. But a healthy man, she figures he will acquire other properties and be able to collect from them. And therefore, the Rashbam explains, why should I speak up? Why should I irritate him and try to thwart his gift to his sons? Therefore, her silence, according to this side of the question, is not a silence of approval, it's a silence of peacemaking. Why irritate him? And since her silence is because of that, she doesn't lose her ksuba collection rights even from these properties. Continuing in the Gemara, O Zilma, hashto mihas leslei. Or do we say that even though he's healthy, right now he has no further properties, and she's remaining silent, and she's becoming a partner with the other sons, so maybe that constitutes a forfeit of ksuba rights from these properties. Teku, that question remains unresolved. We, at this point in the Gemara, encounter a new geometric form, the volcano form. It's explained under the heading Nosei Mivneh in the outside margin. Mikrim Shebohem Shchiv Meira, cases where a deathly ill individual, Shemechalik Nechosov Bein Yolodov, V'noisein Gam Mashu L'Ishto, and he gives a small amount to his wife, Ma Dino Legabi Ksuboso. What's the halacha with regard to her ksuba collection rights? In fact, these questions are coming on the heels of the immediately previous discussion. In the Gemara, Hahu, a Shchiv Meira, de Omar Lehu, that said the following, Palgo Lebras, Vitilso Leitas Beperi. As far as his land is concerned, he's giving half his land to one daughter, the other half of his land to the other daughter, and a third of the fruits to his wife. That's the final expression, is Vitilsa, third, Leitas, to his wife, Beperi, in fruits. Ikla Rav Nachman Lesura. Rav Nachman visited, he came to Sura. Erl Legabi Rav Chisda. And he went to Rav Chisda. Omale, ki hai gavno mai. In this way, what is the din? Namely, a situation where he did not assign to his wife a karka kolshu, only peros, rather, all he assigned to her were fruits. Omale, hachi, omar Shmuel. Thusly says Shmuel, afilo hikna lo elo dekel echad lipeirosof. Even if he assigned to his wife a singular tree with regard to the fruit it produces, namely not the guf hadekel, but the tree with regard to its fruit, and she becomes the owner of the fruit production of that tree, of the ksubasa, she loses her ksuba rights. Omar le, emor de omar Shmuel, hasam de akni lo begufa de ara. Shmuel's din is really only in a case where he gave her some holding in the land itself. Hacha pira bi'almahu. The case that I'm raising is a case involving fruits alone, without any holding in the land itself. Amale metafili kamris. Oh, you're talking about a case of a man who gave to his wife fruits alone? Metafili vadai lo ko'amina. I certainly never would have said that there could be loss of ksuba rights because of receipt of portables alone. What we saw in this Gemara is a situation where when the question was originally presented to Rav Chisda, it wasn't clear to Rav Chisda that we were talking about mere portables. as the Gemara went on, it became clear to Rav Chisda that that's what the question involved. And to that he responded that if the woman receives only portables, she does not lose her ksuba rights. Ahu di Omar Lahu Tilso Libras, Vitilso Libras, Vitilso Liitas. There was a man, Shchiv Meira, who said, I'm giving a third of my property to one daughter, a second third to a second daughter, and a third of his property to his wife. Shchiva Chada Mibinse. One of the daughters died before the father. The father, at that point, inherits the daughter. In other words, property that he assigned to his daughter, he in effect inherits from her. Savar Rav Papi Lameimar Lo Shokla Ela Tilsa. Rav Papi was initially of the opinion that the wife is not going to receive any more than the third that she received. Amale Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana, in looking at this case, differs. Ilu hadar koni, if this husband acquired new property after he made the initial gift to his daughters, milo shakla, would his wife not be entitled to take from those newly acquired properties toward her ksuba? The kemadi lu hadar koni shakla, and since in a case that he would acquire new properties, the wife would be entitled to collect from them. Hashtanami Shakla. So too now, the property that the husband now inherited from the daughter, in effect, is the same thing. It's newly acquired property. What difference does it make where it comes from? Because as far as this husband is concerned, it's new to him. So why should she not be able to collect from that? With that, we conclude our shiur for today.